Wow. Y'all are quiet. Welcome. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we are honored you're here. Would you please fill out a guest card on the back of the pew you'll find and drop that in the offering plate, and we'll see you next Sunday. We're delighted that you're here, especially if you're looking for a church home. We would love for you to consider the wonderful congregation at Flat Springs Baptist Church. There are several announcements that I want to mention very quickly this morning as before we begin our worship. One is the Breathe Bible Study. That's a ladies' study. It begins next Sunday at 6:15. Maureen has your book, and if she hasn't gotten it to you, she's trying to. So find her, and she will get that book to you, and they will begin that process. This coming Friday night, Saturday night, when's the movie? Friday night, 7 o'clock. We'll have a nursery provided. There's going to be a children's movie for our children. There's going to be a nursery provided. And then the youth and any adults that would like to come, we're going to be showing God Is Not Dead 2. And you're invited to come and be a part of that as well. And we will have theater popcorn from the theater. We have connections. And so we will actually have theater popcorn, not from the grocery store, but from the theater. So we look forward to that time. Already be thinking about on the 30th, trunk or treat. We will be asking you to bring candy and or treats for the kids. And be thinking about how you're going to decorate your trunk. We did it last year. It was fantastic. We're looking forward to doing that again very, very soon, and on the 30th of September. And that will be how we do it. You'll be getting more about that as we move forward. There are other announcements that are in your bulletin. You'll notice a rope up here. That will make more sense as we are going to be commissioning. Maybe that's too strong a word, but maybe not. Rebecca, as she gets ready to run the world race for 11 months, and that's going to be a part of our service. And the rope will be symbolic, not only this rope, but also rope that will be available to you to take home as a prayer reminder. And that will make more sense as we continue through our process today. Again, we're glad you're here. Are there any announcements that I need to make? If not, listen as the instruments play. Take a moment to focus all of your attention upon the God we have come to worship as we pause for a few moments to prepare ourselves to worship the King of Kings. With me, face to face, heart to heart, mind to mind, oh God, we come to you. Would you speak to us? Would you? We need it, Lord. We need to hear your voice. We need to share with you those areas of our life where we're lacking, where we failed, where we become either hard-headed or hard-hearted. We need your touch. We need you to do in us what only your Holy Spirit can do. And so here we are, face to face. Would you speak to us clearly as we share with you who we are and we praise who you are. In Christ's name.
Let's take our hymnals and turn them to number 183. I found a friend, oh such a friend. Let's stand as we sing.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks for all the many, many blessings you have done for us and given to us. We give thanks for your commitment to us, and we give thanks for your patience and your forgiveness when we fall short in our commitment to you. Please be with those in need and accept and bless these tithes and offerings to be used for thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
have all our children down today. Boys and girls, we're going to do something a little different today, okay? So just listen.
This year and next, our Women's Missionary Union of North Carolina is challenging all Christ followers to be intentional in four areas: to know and tell the stories of Jesus, to step into the world following Christ's example, to cultivate relationships, and to create opportunities to demonstrate the love of Christ. Here at Flat Springs, we're thankful that one of our own, Rebecca Jackson, is in word and in deed stepping out into a larger world for the World Race, which is a missionary journey to 11 countries over the course of 11 months. During this time, Becca and the other World Racers will be seeking to fulfill the Great Commission. With a Bible, a backpack, and in the company of other Christians, Becca will experience firsthand what it is to participate in God's work globally. This God call that Becca is answering will expose her to cultures and language groups outside of her comfort zone, or at least outside of our comfort zone, and expose her to many natural and man-made wonders throughout the world. Being immersed into new cultures and forming lasting relationships with people who bring fresh perspective will no doubt season you, Becca. You're already making a lasting impact wherever you go. Not only are you answering a call, I learned last night that you've actually been chosen to be your team leader. We are more than just a little proud. You are both following and you are leading. I read online what you posted after completing your training last month, and I can empathize with you in giving up independence for dependence totally on God, and I wish you good luck. On Saturday, Becca is flying to Atlanta, and then on Tuesday, flying out to India, and you'll be following a long and distinguished line of missionaries working in India. William Carey, a British missionary to India serving long before our time, he is known for these famous words when he was telling his mentor, "I will go down into the pit if you will hold the ropes." William Carey was headed for India, a country little known to outsiders, in 1793. This mentor, Andrew Fuller, he had family and church obligations, and he was not God called to serve abroad. So he organized travel, raised funds, and supported his friend through money and mail and prayers on the home front. Most mission movements are enabled by rope holders, those committed to supporting on the home front. Today, Becca, Women on Missions, our Baptist men, and members of Flat Springs commit to support you with focused and intentional prayer. At our pews, there are segments of rope distributed throughout. I ask that members of our congregation pick up a piece of rope that is nearest to you. And after worship, WMU challenges you to take this with you, and each time you see it, stop, pause, and pray for Becca on her mission journey over these next 11 months. At this time, I ask Pastor Gary and Becca to come forward. I ask Becca's family to join her. I ask our children. Miss Martha's going to help you grab a segment of rope here at the front. I'm going to ask our teenagers to come forward and grab a segment of rope. And symbolically, we are going to hold the rope with Becca.
Turn around.
I'll ask our speakers to come forward.
Is there enough rope? Orange is for open doors and opportunities. I hold an orange rope and promise to pray that God will open doors to you and that you will recognize the opportunities to share God's love.
White for God's will. I hold a white rope and promise to pray that God will help you to yield to the will of God, that you will be willing to give up your own wishes and desires in order to do as God would have you to do.
Green for glorifying God. I hold a green rope and promise to pray that you and those with whom you travel will live each day to glorify God and recognize His grace.
I hold a brown rope and promise that to pray that God will bless your efforts and will comfort you when tired or discouraged.
Blue for boldly sharing the Bible. I hold a blue rope and promise to pray that you will be bold in sharing the Bible and the stories of Jesus' love and His sacrifice for us.
Red for revival. I hold a red rope and promise to pray that you will experience personal revival even while serving others, and that you will have quality quiet time to read, study, and pray each day.
In Vacation Bible School this June, students learned to dive deep into Bible stories, and we studied verses from Genesis, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Mark, and Isaiah, all pointing to the Bible truth that God is with us and watches over us wherever we go. Becca, you can stand on the Bible truth that during the world race, you will never be alone. Here on the home front, as Andrew Fuller did for his friend William Carey, we will be serving the mission also, intentionally, through our prayers. We commit to hold the ropes. Godspeed to you. May God richly bless you, your team, and your service.
Heavenly Father, we stand here holding this rope, but we realize there is a rope that reached all the way from heaven, made several loops and tied a knot at Calvary's cross. And then, Lord, through the miracle of your love and grace, in that moment, that anchor place, the rope went out to whosoever will. We are grateful for the call upon Becca's life. We are grateful for how you used her with us this past summer. And it is fitting that our children and our youth stand here and hold the rope with her. And Lord, for these next 11 months, as she visits 11 different countries, and as she ministers in ways that right now she doesn't know, may this moment encourage her. May it be one of those links to the anchor that holds her close. Lord, we love her, and you love her. And she loves you, O God, and she loves your world and your work, and she is committed to it. So, Lord, we pray for safety. We pray for security. We pray, O God, that you would hold her in your hand and use her as only you can. As she answers the call, who'll go? Here am I, Lord. Send me. And so, Lord, now we at Flat Springs Baptist Church send her into your world with our prayers and with our love. And we do so in the strong name of Jesus Christ our Lord.
What a beautiful moment in the life of our church and in our lives. My Lord is near me all the time. Number 59. Let's stand as we sing.
Our scripture for today is Colossians 3:11 through 17. Where this happens, there's no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, uncivilized person, slave or free person. Instead, Christ is everything and in everything. As holy people whom God has chosen and loved, be sympathetic, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. Put up with each other and forgive each other if anyone has complaint. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Above all, be loving. This ties everything together perfectly. Also, let Christ's peace control you. God has called you into this peace by bringing you into one body. Be thankful. Let Christ's word, with all its wisdom and richness, live in you. Use psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to teach and instruct yourselves about God's kindness. Sing to God in your hearts. Everything you say or do should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
You'll look at your prayer concerns. We do have some I'd like to add this morning. John Mullins is going to be going to see a doctor about his shoulder and possible surgery. We want to be remembering John. And also Kelsey Van is at Moore Regional in the hospital. We want to be remembering her. You see Allie McFarland. Allie is scheduled to have her tonsils removed on this Thursday. We want to keep her lifted up in our prayers. Betty Lou remains in the hospital. We are hopeful that possibly tomorrow she will be going to Westfield. The family is still dealing with insurance. You can't imagine that, can you? But we all want to be praying for Betty Lou and a good result there. And Ruth West is home from having had knee replacement surgery. We want to keep her lifted up. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, into your presence we now find ourselves again, grateful for who you are in our midst. And we pray now, O God, that you might speak to us, that we might hear your voice, especially as it speaks of forgiveness. As it calls us to forgive as you forgave us. For the end is not forgiveness. Lord, remind us that the end is for restored relationship. And that is our goal and our hope. Be with us now as we continue to praise your name above every name. For it is in the strong name of Christ we pray. And the people said, even in the valley, God is good. Thank you, Quan. We invite you to open your Bibles with me to Luke's Gospel, the 15th chapter. One of the most famous stories in all the Bible. A story Jesus tells, a parable. I wonder who he's talking about. We have three, maybe four characters. Two sons, a dad, a servant. The servant seems to be a little bit insignificant, but the two sons and the father, they teach us. They teach us where we are, where we need to be. Let me just say, in case there's any doubt, the father in the story, in my message today, is going to represent God. And the two boys, well, you and me. Both of us. Both of them represent me. I bet both of them at some point or another represent you. It's a familiar passage, a story maybe you'll know and have heard, but let us, as we read it, listen for new truth and ask God to speak. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my share of property that is coming to me, his inheritance. Very peculiar to do that. And he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country. And he began to be in need. And he went in and hired himself to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. I'm going to pause right here. Remember, Jesus is speaking to Jewish people. So we know no God-fearing Israelite would be raising pigs. He has left the land of promise and now finds himself in the pig pen. Verse 16. And he was longing to be fed with pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish with hunger. I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose. I love it. And he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he felt compassion, and he ran, and he embraced him, and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it and let us celebrate. For this was my son. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to celebrate. I wish the story ended right there. That's a great place. And they lived happily ever after. Let's read verse 25. Now his older son was in the field. And he came and he drew near to the house and he heard the music and dancing. And he called out one of the servants and he asked him what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come
and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he, the older son, was angry, and he refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I've served you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat," King James says a kid, "that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, and you kill the fatted calf for him?" And the father said to him, "Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and to be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost, and he is found." God, speak to us of how we might sometimes shadow these two boys. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How we see things matters. As we continue our series of disciples, all year we've been talking about disciples, not church members, disciples. By now I hope you know there's a difference. Disciples, followers of Christ, those who have committed to love the Lord with all their heart and all their mind and all their strength, all the time, in every circumstance, those folks. Yet still we have problems, don't we? You probably either have had someone break a relationship with you, or you have broken a relationship with somebody, or more likely, both. The mark of God's love that makes us different from every other faith is that we believe, and I want you to hear this, because I may say the most important thing in the very beginning, and then just try to expound on it from here forth. The most important thing is this: we believe that we were all in a broken relationship with God, and God healed that broken relationship through the person of Jesus Christ. That's what we believe. That's what the cross is all about. That's what Christ came to do, was to seek to save those who were lost, those who were dead, those who were broken, you and I. And it is that same love of Christ that can heal broken relationships that you and I may be experiencing. Now, maybe you're already beginning to run in your mind, "Yeah, preacher, but you don't know. You don't know what happened. You don't know what he said, what she said, what he did, what she did. You don't know." You're right. I don't. All I know is what I do know. And what I know is the love of Jesus Christ is greater than any brokenness in this world. Isn't that good news? Isn't that wonderful news? I've noticed that when people look at themselves and then look at others, we don't always see the same thing. In fact, we don't always think the same thing. I was reading this week and I ran across this piece, and I don't know who wrote it. "Others are conceited, but me, I just have a lot of self-respect. Others, they're social climbing snobs, but me, I'm just trying to get ahead. Others have prejudices, but I just have convictions." Now, if they're unyielding about their interpretation of Scripture, they're hard-headed. That's just plain stubbornness. But as far as me not giving up any of my views, well, I'm contending for the faith. When you spend time with your personal appearance, that's vanity. When I do it, I'm just trying to make the best of what God's given me. You understand? In you, it's impatience. But with me, have you ever noticed how annoying everybody else is? With you, it's touchiness. You're so touchy. But me, I'm just sensitive. In you, it's self-righteousness. You just are trying to be self-centered. But in me, it's justified because, after all, I'm right. All the time. In you, it's worry. Not in me, it's concern. In you, it's self-justification. But in me, I'm just explaining my position. In you, you've got a bad temper. But me, I just am angry because you had it coming anyway. I noticed that. At first, that was a little funny, but the more I read it, the more it looked kind of like a mirror that I sometimes looked into, or, well, maybe I needed to look into, but I didn't. What breaks a relationship? I'm going to say very quickly this morning, two things. I'm going to make it simple. Hard-headed and hard-hearted. That's it. That's what breaks relationships. Either being hard-headed. I saw some folks looking at their spouse right then. I don't know what that means. Hard-headed or hard-hearted. Those are the two things. The two things that will break a relationship. And Jesus knew that, and that's why he gave us his story. The first young man, the young'un. He's hard-headed. He's rebellious. He's hard-headed. But the older, he's become hard-hearted. He's become hard-hearted. Oh, he's done everything right. And still, his relationship, did you read that when he said, and he would not go, his daddy was throwing a party. And he, not only wouldn't he go in, but he sent word. Don't you believe he sent word? How did daddy know, right? Daddy was having a good old time. As far as he knew, the boys out in the field. He probably told that same servant. He said, you go in and you tell dad, I'm not coming in there. The younger son was hard-headed. He was inexperienced. He made bad decisions. Bad decisions break relationships, don't they? Bad choices. Bad choice of words. Bad choice of deeds. Bad choice of being quiet when we should speak. Or doing, and yet we remain still. Today, is there brokenness in your life because of bad choices, either yours or someone else's? If you've made bad choices, then I want to give you a pattern, and I don't want to give it to you. Jesus wants to give it to you. I think that's why he told the story. He's going to give us a pattern of what we can do with bad choices. Now, if you're the victim of bad choices, I want you to learn from the Father, because he teaches us how to deal when other people make bad choices. Let's start with the son, the young son. Let's start with hard-headed. Our text spells it out so clearly for us. It's almost impossible to not see it. Look, if you've got your outline, you'll look at realize, my A, under number Roman numeral 2, then reflect, then recognize, and then return. And actually, that return is not 17D. It should be verse 18, by the way. That was my mistake, but you can make that change right now. Let's look at verse 17A. He realized when he came to himself. When he came to himself. If you're here and you're dwelling in a broken relationship, you are refusing to come back to your core if you're a Christian. You're refusing to come back to your core. You're refusing the very principle that makes you a disciple, and that is that I will love the Lord with all my heart and all my strength and all my mind, and then what? You know that second part? And I will love my neighbor even that hard-headed neighbor, as I love myself. He came to himself, and if you're here today and you're in a broken relationship, maybe you're mad and you feel you're justified at being mad. Maybe you feel it's okay. You have righteous indignation. But if it's a broken relationship, then today you need to recognize, as that young man did, it said when he came to himself, he began to realize. I would suggest to you today that the one thing Satan would want us all to do in this moment is not to realize our condition. Because if you don't realize there's a need for you to change, you won't change. I won't change. We won't change. If we don't realize there's an area in a relationship that's not all that God would have it to be, we'll never do anything about it. We'll continue as we've always done. Today, I just pray God would give us that spirit of realizing we can understand what happened to this young man. He had squandered everything. He now found himself in a pig pen, literally being slopped with the hogs. He was starving to death. He was about to die. Don't wait for it to get that bad. Don't wait for it to get that bad. I've got good news. If you wait, God's still there. But don't wait that long. Maybe just take a deep breath. Do you smell pigs? Maybe they're not all over you, but you smell them. Don't wait any longer. Realize, where are you today? What is your walk with God? Honestly, what's your walk with God? What's your walk in your family? What's your walk with coworkers? Very quickly, he then not only realized, but then he began to reflect. Look at the next portion. And he said, and now he's reflecting. You know, I'm remembering home. How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? Have more than enough bread. He began to think, I remember when Daddy would divvy out the bread every week for the hired help. And I remember a lot of times, I remember John would say, sir, I don't need any more. He gave me so much last week. I don't need that much anymore. And then he heard one of those hogs oink as he was eating the corn shucks, trying to find substance where there was no nutrition. You know, if you try to eat off this world, there's no nutrition in it. There's just no nutrition. You can fill your belly. Just like that boy filled his belly. Sometimes when your tummy hurts, you'll fill it with anything. But brothers and sisters, unless you come to the pure quill of God's word, you're feeding on junk food, and it will affect your relationships, our relationships. He began to reflect. I remember, how many of us can remember when God was doing a great thing in our heart and in our life and in our world? Realize and then reflect. And then he did the great thing that we always need to do. He recognized the last part of 17c when he said, and I die. That's what perish means. I'm dying. I'm starving to death with hunger. Here I am. My dad was well off. My dad was a rich man. My dad and his dad, they had worked hard. They had built an industry. They were successful. We had enough to be talking about an inheritance. And I took it. And here I am, the son of that great man, about to die of hunger. And the worst servant my dad's got is gaining weight off that good bread every day. He recognized his position. Can I ask you, do you like brokenness? I don't. I don't like brokenness. I don't like hard feelings. I don't like hurt feelings. We need to recognize that it will starve our relationships to death if we have too much pride. If we try to do it our way. If we try to follow what the latest fad on the TV or in a magazine or in psychiatrists or psychology might be telling us. He recognized his condition. If you're here today and you don't know Christ and the pardon and forgiveness of your sins, that sin has caused the greatest break of all times. You're broken, you and God. You're broken with God. But if you recognize that, I love verse 18. Are you there? He said, I will arise and go to my Father. I'll get up from this pig pen while I've still got strength to make it home, because I'm in a faraway country. And with the smell of those hogs, he began to make his way back home. He returned. Oh, he was coming. Not only was he coming, but look how he was coming. The last part of 18. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Today, do we need to come? Do you need healing? Is there a broken relationship that needs God's ointment to bring the healing, that salve that he can change, return? Come to him. If you're here today and there's brokenness, either between you and God or brokenness between you and another person, return. And then I love what happens in 20b. While he was a long way off, his father saw him. He never went to the pig pen, that dad. There's no indication in Jesus' little story that he began to think about it and say, oh, I need to go get that boy. That rebellious son, he didn't know what he was doing. He's too young. He's inexperienced. My goodness, he's a knucklehead. I need to go get him. Never did it. Never did it. But maybe I'm reading too much into it, but just go with me if I am. I got a feeling every time when that dad walked by that road that led from the property, and I think it was a one-lane road. That's just what I think. He would look down that lane. I've got a feeling he watched that son walk out of his life. He watched him. Maybe he was saying, son, think about this. You don't need to go. I know we've got some problems here. It's not perfect, but you don't need to go. You don't need to go. Son, you don't understand what's... You don't know where you're headed. Don't do it. Don't do it. And he watched that son walk. He became smaller and smaller and smaller until either he made it around that last bend or he just walked out of his sight. I got a feeling that dad didn't go, but I got a feeling that dad kept watching for that son. I got a feeling he kept looking for him, because it says, while he was a long way off, father saw him. While he was a long way off, I think dad kept looking down that same road every day, hoping his son would return. I want you to look at the sequence with me that's right there in verse 20. The first thing is that the Father saw him. I want you to know today, if there's brokenness between you and God, God's looking for you to come home. He's looking for me to come back. He wants it the way it ought to be. You know how it ought to be? Is that how it is? Is it like it ought to be? If not, God wants it to be like it ought to be. Return. And he will receive you. When he saw him and he recognized him, it says the next thing the father did was have compassion on him. He didn't go to the pig pen, but he kept looking. And now he saw him. And as soon as he saw him, maybe he was still that little small figure. It looks like my boy. Kind of walks like my boy. Some have suggested that it's a good thing he's a long way off, because probably he smells so bad, dad might have changed his mind. He kept walking closer and closer. And probably when no one else recognized, dad with those loving eyes recognized his boy. He recognized his son. And the scripture says, and the father was moved with compassion. And he ran to him to meet him. Once he got back on his turf, dad ran to meet him. Today, God would run to meet us if we're willing to come to him. God would meet us more than halfway if we'll make any decision to come to him. He embraced him and he kissed him. He put a robe on him. He put a ring on him. He restored him for who he was. And then he threw a party. Hayden Robinson says it best. Speaking of God, he says, with him, the calf is always the fatted calf. The robe is always the best robe. The joy is always unspeakable. The peace passes understanding. There is no grudging in God's goodness. He does not measure his goodness by drops like the druggist filling a prescription. It comes upon us in floods. If only we would recognize the lavish abundance of his gifts, what a difference he would make in our lives. And then he began to rejoice at the return. There's a song written by Larry Bryant. It's entitled, That's When the Angels Rejoice. And it says this little bit of funny, but then it makes an important point. When the Model T first hit the street, it didn't bring all heaven to its feet. And when the first computer was born, that didn't blow old Gabriel's horn. There's only one thing that we're sure about that can make those angels jump and shout. It's when a sinner makes the Lord his choice. That's when the angels rejoice. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of kind of happiness you can find in this old world. You can find head happiness. You know? And what the world does for us, it kind of dangles a carrot out there in front of us. If we just had a little more money, if we just had a little more stuff, if we just bought something else, we'd be good. That's what I call head happiness. And there's even emotional happiness. Maybe I'm happy for a moment, but I'm not happy all the time. Then there's body happiness. You know what body happiness is? You ever had any homemade apple pie with ice cream on top? Well, you know what body happiness is right there. That's it. There's peer happiness. That's when you're trying to make everybody else happy so you think you'll be happy. But I think what Jesus is talking about is soul happy. Being soul happy. Being spiritually happy. Being fulfilled. Being that peace that passes understanding. That's what he's talking about. And then quickly this morning, the oldest son, the hard-hearted older son. I can understand his point, don't you? I can see where he's coming from. The rebellious son, he wasted it. He had his shot. He blew it. And now, here he comes, stinking up the house. And you're going to throw a party. I'm more like the older son than I am the younger son. I always have been. I never was rebellious. I never was rebellious. Don't know what it's like to smoke a cigarette. Never have. Don't know what it's like to drink alcohol. Never have. I know somebody said, my gosh, and he's 60, almost 60 years old, and he's still alive. Never done that. So far, so good. That's all I got. Just never have been that rebellious person. Daddy said, come home. I came home. Daddy said, do it. I did it. Mama said, do it. I did it. Just the way I live. Boring, right? Well, I just never was rebellious. That's why I wanted that story to end when the rebellious boy came back. That's a good place to end it. Maybe Jesus knew about me. Because then he told a story about that older son, and then all of a sudden I saw myself more often than not. Now, I got some rebellion in me. I'm not going to be that mighty, high and mighty. But my natural tendency is, if you make your bed, you ought to lie in it. Y'all got that tendency? Y'all got that tendency? Come on, Deep River. Y'all got that tendency. I've been around here long enough. I know. You did it. Nobody made you. Nobody put a gun to your head. You made that choice. And unfortunately, there are choices that when you make them like that, they have consequences. Oh, listen, especially young people, don't make hard-headed decisions. When your folks tell you something, listen. But that hard-heartedness, I won't go in. I won't have a party. I don't want him here. I don't like him. Can I go ahead and say, I hate him. I have been so glad he's been gone. I hope he died. Throw him in the pig pen and leave him alone. You know, I've been hearing that somewhat in America these last few months. I want you to see how the father repeated. He said to that older son, you're always with me. All I have is yours. And then I want you to hear where he says these words. Three little words. You ready? It is fitting. Christ is teaching you and I that not only have we received a blessing, you and I, but we don't deserve it. You see, neither boy deserved the father's stuff. The father had earned it. He brought them into the world. He had worked hard. He had done good. He had been successful. Maybe his father had blessed him, but they didn't deserve it, but it was theirs. You and I, we don't deserve all that God would do, but it's there for us. Here's what I believe, what I think Jesus wanted you and I to see. The Father wanted his older son to see that what really matters is people. It's family. It's not stuff. It's not stuff. God's blessing is not stuff. More often than not, it's not stuff. It's people. It's family. And I think Jesus wanted us to understand that we needed to see our relationship with God as our Father. And when I've got that right, I'll do you right. When I've got God right, I'll do you right. When I don't have God right, it might be 50-50. Whether I'll do you right or do you wrong. In both circumstances, the Father is wanting to restore the brokenness. One was hard-headed and one was hard-hearted. That's exactly what God wants to do today, to restore us to that right relationship. Have you rebelled against God? Have you walked out? Are you hard-hearted? Hard-headed? You know, we can stay in the church and become hard-hearted. We can stay in our home and become hard-hearted, just like the older son. The Father watches, and He desires to restore us. You see, I don't know how far it is from heaven to where the throne is to here. But I know that God watches down the road that I travel. And like that father in our story, He's always looking for me to come back. He's always willing to run and meet me with compassion. He's always willing to restore me. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Where'd you see yourself today? The older son? Younger son? Both. The Father's waiting. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in this moment, when we make decisions, would those decisions bring glory and honor to your holy name? Lord, there may be someone here today who needs to come to you and say, Lord, I've wandered away. And today your Spirit has spoken to my spirit. And I'm ready for soul happiness, spiritual happiness. Because the worldly happiness comes and goes, ebbs and flows. Maybe there's someone here today who says, I've become hard-hearted. set in my ways. Today your Spirit has spoken to my spirit. And I want you to know, God, I'm coming back in to the party. Whatever our need, may we respond to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is What a Friend We Have in Jesus, page 182. This morning, if God is calling you to make some public decision, oh, we'd invite you to do that. But if God is calling each of us to maybe do that inner reflection about our walk with Him and make some decisions about that walk, would we do so as we stand together? Be seated for just a second. Becca, where are you? Go right up there so that pulpit might pick you up. Becca wanted to share a word with us before she goes. She's going to be with me at the door, so you will greet her and promise to hold the rope for her.
I, with everything in my heart, just want to thank each one of you for guiding me since I was a baby. I've been a part of this church, and you've led me through it, and I'm so thankful to have you along this journey with me and this next part of it, as I won't be here physically, but I know that your prayers will be with me, and I will be feeling your love and prayers from other countries. And so I just really thank you for coming alongside me in this, and just know how thankful I am for each of you, and your prayers and your love are very felt. And I'm so thankful to have you as my church family. So thank you so much. And I'm excited to share this journey with you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Becca. And she has made it. I want to do that all along, so I finally did. Sorry about that. She has said that we have an opportunity. Maybe you've seen it on Facebook. You can just stand right here with me. And that is to write her a letter. But you can't send it to her because she's going to be in 11 different countries, and we don't know where she's going to be. But you can write it now, and you can put on the letter, open when you need a laugh, open when you need a remembrance, open on Christmas Day, open on your birthday, because she will be on the race during her birthday, open at Easter, open on Valentine's. You've got all kinds of choices. You got the idea? And give it to her now. And then she will open it as you have instructed her. She will take them with us. It's a neat idea, I hope. Everybody here. I hope you have to carry 100 letters. You know, that'll be cool. Stand with me. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are excited about Becca and your call upon her life. We are excited about the race that she shall run and the race that is before us, that we shall run. And we pray, O God, that we might run it with you and thereby be together all the time. Go with us from this place, that we might be instruments of your grace and mercy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.